Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
Episode 3, Season 1 of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast is brought to you by Redcon 1, Old School Labs, Six Pack Bags, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to Episode 3 of Season 1 of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. My name is John Hansen, and we are continuing our discussion about the 40th anniversary of the movie Pumping Iron. And our guest today is Mr. High Energy himself, Mr. Bill Grant. Bill is one of the top bodybuilders in the 1970s, and he trained at Gold's Gym out in Venice, California, the original Gold's Gym, alongside Arnold Schwarzenegger and Franco Colombo and Ken Waller and Danny Padilla and a lot of the other guys. So Bill was actually one of the very few that was in both the book and the movie Pumping Iron. You could see he was mentioned in the book, and there's a couple of pictures of him in the book. And he was also involved in the movie slightly, but he was around during that time. So we're going to talk to Bill. I think Bill turned 70 years old this year, and he's still in amazing condition. He's still got those big, massive biceps. And Bill, like I said, has so much energy. We're going to have a great talk with Bill Grant. And I want to mention that this episode of Bodybuilding Legends Podcast is brought to you by Redcon One. And Redcon One believes in working hard to achieve your goals. They have their premier clinically dosed pre-workout, Total War, and that's the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And they also have the revolutionary MRE, the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and the carbs from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also includes 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And as a favor to the show, you can enter the discount code LEGENDS and get 15% discount off your order. We're also brought to you by Old School Labs, who makes uncompromisingly premium supplements. Old School Labs draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements to the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. And it's a brand that I personally used to win in the Masters Natural Mr. Universe competition and many other contests. I personally use the Old School Labs Base and Burn. The Burn is a great fat burner, and the Base is a good multivitamin. And I use their Old School Labs Build and Mass right before my workout as a pre-workout drink. As a sponsor to the show, Old School Labs is giving you 12% off your purchase. Just go to oldschoollabs.com and use the code LEGEND12. At checkout, and you will get a great discount on any supplements that you order. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right, as we head into another week, as I mentioned on last week's show, we've got the Roy Callender interview coming out. It should be out this week on bodybuildinglegendshow.com. You can also, of course, check it out on YouTube, but if you want to go to the official website, it's bodybuildinglegendshow.com. Roy, for those of you that don't know, was a great bodybuilder who got to start competing in the 1960s. He was actually in the Mr. Universe contest that Arnold first won in 1967, the NABBA Mr. Universe, out in London, England. Roy was a good friend of Arnold, and he hung around with him a lot in the 1960s. But Roy really got his career going in the 1970s when he won the Mr. Universe contest, the IFBB Mr. Universe contest. And then he turned pro, and he was in the Mr. Olympia contest in 1978, 79, and also 1980 and 81 when Arnold and Franco came back and won. And then he also came back in 1984, the first year that Lee Haney won. So Roy's got a lot of memories and a lot of great competitions that he entered. And he competed against some of the very best in bodybuilding, including Larry Scott. And it was really cool to hear Roy talk about how much he loved competing against Larry Scott, who was his idol when he was growing up. So Roy was a real funny guy, a real thoughtful guy, and it was really great to talk to him. And we've got some great photographs to go along with the video. So when you watch the video, you'll be able to see some old photographs of Roy, and plus some of the shots of when he was at his absolute best. And we've got some great video footage. There was a gentleman named Norm Comich, who I met on the bodybuilding forum Iron Age, which was around probably like 10, 15 years ago. In fact, Sean Perrine, who now works for Flex Magazine and Muscle and Fitness, Sean started that before he actually started working for the WIDA organization. And it was a bunch of old-time guys like me, and we would get on the forum and we would talk. And there was a guy named Norm Comich who was actually at the 1965 Mr. Olympia that Larry Scott first won, and he was taking footage of it with his home movie camera. So we've got some great footage from that. And he was also, by coincidence, at the 1980 Mr. Olympia in Australia, and he was sitting up in the balcony. So he's got some really awesome footage of that that I've never seen before. So I was one of the ones to purchase the video from Norm because he was selling it. So we've got some footage of that that we can use with the Roy Callender interview. So if you watch that interview, which should be coming up in about a week or so, you're really going to see some awesome, awesome footage of both Larry Scott and the 1980 Mr. Olympia that you've never seen before. We've also got some really good interviews coming up, and I can't reveal who they are just yet, but I've talked to two really big names in the sport, and we're supposed to be interviewing this week. So if that goes through, I don't want to jinx myself, but if it goes through, I will let you guys know on next week's podcast who those upcoming Bodybuilding Legends interviews are going to be with. But we got some really good names coming up in the future. So I hope you guys stay tuned to the website and watch us on YouTube and really support these Bodybuilding Legends interviews. I love doing them, and I know a lot of people like seeing them. All right, we're also brought to you by Six Pack Bags. Six Pack Fitness creates iconic meal management bags and healthy, competitor-friendly hot sauces and accessories geared toward anyone from the serious athlete or bodybuilder or CrossFit or fitness enthusiast. These are bags where you can carry your own meals, you can pack your protein drinks, you can pack your supplements, your utensils or anything, and you can pack them with. You have to bring your meals for the day, whether you're going to work or school, or you're going away for the weekend and you want to bring your meals with you. They are really, really awesome. So go to sixpackbags.com and you can use the promo code LEGENDS10 and you'll receive 10% off your total purchase. And we're also brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you are feeling low in your energy and you want to get your hormone levels checked out so you can maximize your potential, then come see the experts at the Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to help you achieve your goals. They have a wide range of services that ensure you'll not only look and feel amazing, but they're comfortable knowing they're there for you every step of the way, and they have very competitive pricing. They will help anybody, not just in the Florida area, but anybody across the country. So give them a call for more information and experience firsthand what sets Florida Alternative Medicine apart from the rest. You can go to their website at opeshealth.org. That's opeshealth.org. Or if you want to call them directly, call 813-906-6737 and use the promotion code LEGEND for a free consultation, and you get 20% off any package. That's opeshealth.org, Florida Alternative Medicine. So we appreciate all of our sponsors sponsoring the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. All right, before we get to our interview with Bill Grant, we did have one question from last week's show with Roger Callard. This question came from Dennis out in Jacksonville, Florida. He said, "Hey, John, I really enjoyed your interview with Roger Callard. I've never heard an interview with him before, although I have read about him in the magazines, and I really enjoyed all of his old-time stories." He goes, "I wanted to ask what you thought of Roger's comment about Arnold's calf implants. Did you think he was kidding or was he serious?" Yeah, Roger's interview got a lot of press last week. There was a lot of the message boards, a lot of the bodybuilding message boards were talking about it, especially that comment about Roger made about Arnold's calf implants. I've heard that before. I think Rick Drayson also mentioned that in one interview. So I don't know. It's hard for me to believe, like a lot of other people have said, that back in the early 70s, in 1972, that they had the technology to have calf implants that looked as real as Arnold's, because Arnold's calves looked freaky, but they also looked real. And one of the things that looked real about him was you could see the fibers and you could see the muscle actually moving whenever he did a calf raise or when he flexed them. And that's one of the things about implants is I'm sure you've seen other bodybuilders over the years who have had calf implants and they just look ridiculous. And this is, I'm talking about the 1990s. So that would be 20 years after Arnold supposedly had them done. So no, I don't really buy that. I don't buy that Arnold had calf implants or anything done to them. If you look, I've seen a picture of Arnold from 1967, Mr. Universe, when he was only 20 years old. And although his calves weren't as big, they still had the same kind of shape. They still had the same striations in the middle by the soleus muscle. So I really think it was just hard work. I know it's hard to believe, but You know, I know Arnold worked his calves really, really hard. He was definitely a great responder to genetics. He had great genetics for building muscle. So, yeah, it's hard for me to believe that they were calf implants. I think Roger was serious when he said it. I didn't really pursue that question. I should have maybe, but he sounded serious when he said it. So, you know, I'll just take his word for it. But I don't believe it was true. I mean, it's hard to believe, like I said, that those calves are not real when you can see every fiber moving in them. All right. So that's it for the questions this week. We are going to get to our interview with Bill Grant and talk about the old days of bodybuilding and the 40th anniversary of the movie Pumping Iron. Here's our interview with Bill Grant.
All right. Welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And my very special guest today is my friend Bill Grant calling in from New Jersey. And we are here to talk about the 40th anniversary of the movie Pumping Iron. Bill, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. 40 years of Pumping 40 years since Iron. Came out. I'm taking a big, deep breath.
Bill, we did an interview a couple of years ago. Yeah, and you had some great stories about, we talked about your whole career, but remind us when you moved out to LA again, because you're originally from New Jersey and it was always your dream to move out to California. So what year did you finally move out there?
I first went to LA. I told my parents, in all honesty, hey, I want to go to college, but I want to go to LA. So I enrolled into Los Angeles City College. That was a farce. Of course, it was a ploy to get to Muscle Beach, you know?
Right.
Wow.
Right.
It was 1965 when I went. I was an old man at 18. The memories are good, but I can't believe I'm talking about 1965.
And I remember when we did our interview before, you were talking about the prices that you paid for, like, your apartment that you rented, and it was crazy.
You know what? I could not believe it. I wish it was that way today, but Los Angeles was probably the cheapest place in the country to live in. You know, I was going to school a little, and mostly now I got to tell you the truth. I was going to Muscle Beach. I was trying to work out. I mean, I just loved California, man. That was my lifelong dream to go to Muscle Beach.
You were already a bodybuilder at the time, right?
Oh, yeah, I was.
Winning shows in New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it was great. Joe Weider was there. I went to meet him in Union City. But, you know, when I saw the pictures of Dave Draper from Secaucus and, you know, the palm trees, Santa Monica Beach, Muscle Beach, the guys working out on the beach, a young kid gets really, you know, impressionable in a place that you want to be, and you're seeing it and seeing it day in and day out. John, that's all I could think about. I had to go to California. People are absolutely out of my crate. You're out of here crazy. Me and my mother, what is wrong with you? I saved up, I thought I had a lot of money, $500. My dad said, what the hell are you going to do with that? I says, that's the money I'm going to have. He says, how long do you think that money's going to last you? My father was always in my corner. He knew what I wanted to do. He was a professional fighter. He knew I had a real big passion on bodybuilding. He always stuck up for me, you know, when people laughed at me. My sisters and her friends, they just really laughed at me. They'd see me in the bedroom lifting weights, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm posing, and they says, what are you looking at? I says, you don't see it, but I do. And they says, you damn right we don't see anything.
So, Bill, when you went out there in 65, that was pretty early. Was Gold's Gym going on back then?
Yeah, I think it just started. That's 1965. Yeah. 96 to 6 around there. Yeah, I went down there, but other things really happened when I was there. My life was just starting, and, you know, when you're young, you always don't know everything, you know. But at any rate, in 1966, I met a girl, and that was history. That's where the three kids came from. And she was from Sweden, and in 1966... Oh, we had an apartment there. $69.85. $69.85.
Oh my God.
Furnished. And it was right on Venice Boulevard. It was right near the overpass of the Santa Monica Freeway. So, I mean, I wasn't far from there.
Did you meet Arnold when he first came to the United States?
No, Arnold wasn't there yet. I was there before him, about four or five years before him. I met him in 69. Now, you have to understand, I told you, you know, Arnold was right, and you can't be afraid to fail with anything. Some of the most successful people in the world have failed not once, 10, 15 times. Mm-hmm. You can't be afraid, and he's right. You can't. Sometimes you're not going to make it the first time. Doesn't mean you're no good, and you're not a good person, and you're stupid. It just happens. You're not ready for it. So I met my wife there. When I told my dad I was getting married on the phone, he didn't say anything right away. He had to digest that. Excuse me? What did you just say? I said, well, I'm going to get married. He says, wait a minute. You sure that's what you want to do? And now, he wasn't really discouraging me. He just was trying to tell me the facts. You know, He says, you're only 19. You're really not ready to be married. It's a big responsibility, and I don't think you're ready for it. This is how honest my parents were. He wasn't angry. He was very soft-spoken, just telling me the facts. He did tell me, he says, but it's your choice. We stayed there for a while. We both worked at an electronic factory. And, the big hourly rate was really great, $1.25 an hour. I used to make transformers. I hope those people didn't get shocked. It was a little dicey. We lost the jobs, and we had a car. It was a 1950-something green Plymouth. Hey, that sucker was good because we drove it all the way back to Jersey. Now, you have to understand, my dad told me, I didn't know what he was telling me this for. He says, I don't want you to, we're coming home. I said, but I don't want you to drive the car across the country. I said, well, I can drive. But that wasn't the reason, John. And I hope people don't get offended in what I'm going to say now. But she was Swedish, and I was a black guy. In the 1960s, you know what it was like in the country. I was naive. I was colorblind. A person to me, if they're a friend, they're a friend. I wouldn't care what color they were. And the gym, the same when I was training, I didn't care who they were. I hung out with everybody, even my black friends. Oh, man, how are you hanging out with those white guys? I said, well, why are you saying that, man? I said, they're friends of mine. What do you mean? I said, they're friends of mine. I train at the gym with them. I go to the beach with them and everything. I said, well, what's wrong with you guys? What's wrong with this? I didn't care, even if I got ridiculed. I said, this is my life, and I can hang out with whoever I want. You don't like it? Too bad. Sorry. So we drove across the country, and we did have a couple of pitfalls where it could have been very dangerous. We were driving through Texas, Amarillo, Texas at that time, and it really wasn't a good fate for, place for me and my wife to be going through. We went to a restaurant. When we both walked in the restaurant, the place got really quiet, and I said, this is probably a problem, and so we had to leave the restaurant. Then we got to Wheeling, West Virginia, out in the mountains. We got chased like crazy, and I was terrified. I said, I'm going to get killed here, man. But that little Plymouth was good. It was good. I put the pedal to the metal, man. I was really disheartened about that. I says, why? What did I do to anybody? Why would anybody want to harm me and my wife? What do we do? We're not doing anything wrong. And to this day, I still say that's the same thing. I just don't understand. I just don't understand it, man. You know, I mean, I'm just the guy who likes people, and like no matter who they are. I mean, if you're an ass, you're an ass. It doesn't matter what color you are. You know what I'm saying? But my wife was pregnant at the time. I mean, I just really wasn't ready for all of this. But she was 7 years older than me. And it was rough going. When I got home, I stayed at my parents' house. And fast forward now to when I went to Los Angeles again.
Yeah.
It was 1969. I said, this is my time to go again. And I still had my family sitting in Jersey. So my friend came out, too. So we stayed at the Hollywood YMCA. We had a car. We drove up to Vince's gym because it was close. I think that was really before Gold's, but everybody was training there. And that's when I met Arnold in 1969. He had an apartment in North Hollywood. It was a beat-up old one-bedroom apartment, furnished, that Joe paid for. This is Vince's gym. This is when everybody was working. I mean, you name it, and they were training there. Vince was a little weird. He used to call Arnold a doughboy, and he said he'd never get anywhere, do anything, you know. He was really wrong about Arnold. He was really right about most everybody, but he was very, very wrong. Most people were very, very wrong about Arnold. You know, here's a guy comes from Austria. He couldn't speak English that well. He looked like a slob, and this guy's a doofus, man, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody believed in him, but Joe did. You notice that. Now, you know how Arnold really got here. It was Rick Wayne that told Joe Weider to bring him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. It's him. He the one who saw Arnold. He found him. And he told Joe, that's the guy you need. You need to bring him. And Joe, he took his advice. and Arnold got there. And Arnold was great. I mean, I used to hang out at his apartment. He'd make me smoothies and stuff. I really got close to him. I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, we were friends constantly enough. And Arnold came here with a dream. But Arnold had a plan. And I tell people that he had a plan that we didn't have. Arnold knew what he wanted to do and where he was going to go. And he knew bodybuilding would be the stepping stone. That's just the way it is. Arnold's a bright guy. He's not a dope. He was never stupid. He just looked that way because he couldn't speak English and stuff.
Now, when did you guys move over to Gold's Gym?
I even think it was in 69, too. Everybody started going when Vince took away the squat rack. We have to get out of here now. This is ridiculous now. How do you get legs? Vince always thought that squats would give you a big ass. I didn't know. I didn't get a big ass. Arnold didn't get a big one. I mean, some of his methods were a little not that great. But most of the stuff, Vince was a guru. The guy was really good. You saw what Muhammad McAway looked like one year when Vince worked on him. Vince had this attitude of, you don't like it, get the hell out.
Right.
That's it. He wanted just a few good men to train. That was it. He had all the stars and everything. He just was weird.
When did you guys first meet Charles Gaines and George Butler for Pumping Iron? Was that in 73, right? Was that when they came out?
Yes. Arnold saw him for the first. They came to him. But somebody asked him, Jerry Ragney. He did. Remember the hair? The stage play hair? They wanted Arnold to be in that. But Arnold said, oh, no, I'm not doing this, taking my fucking clothes off on the stage. Is they fucking go? Are they crazy? But I met these guys. This guy, Jerry Ragney, was a little off the hook. I met him as well. And I can't remember what show it was. It might have been 1973. He came to the show and he took me, a couple of guys to
Studio.
What was it?
Studio 54?
Yeah, Studio. Yeah, right. He took me there one night. It was after the show and it didn't matter what you wore. They were famous of nodding, let the famous people in, like Frank Sinatra. They told him he couldn't get in yet. So we get in real good. I got the sweats on and stuff. I go in. Ragnar walking around and what's her name? It's Sophia Loren was there. A lot of big stars were there. So this is what he told me. He says, Bill, there's Johnny Carson up on the riser, man, with his manager. He says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go over there and jump on there on that stage, and I want you to pose with Johnny Carson. I said, man, you must be out here cotton picking mind, man. He says, no, man, you'll get a lot of. I said, you're crazy. He says, just do it, man. I said, okay, give me a couple more glasses of wine.
And this was at the
Studio 54? This is Studio 54.
What year was this, though?
And it's, I think, 1973. That's when I was third in the Mr. World. So I'm getting a buzz from drinking the wine.
Was this right after the contest?
Yeah, it was right after the contest. So I'm a little buzzed. I ripped off my jacket, man, and I jumped up on the stage and started posing. Johnny Carson got up and took his shirt, and he started really? Posing. The crowd was going crazy. It was in the Inquirer, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mr. America poses up with Johnny Carson at Studio 54.
Really?
Wow. People at work, I used to work for United, says, Bill, man, you were in the Inquirer. I said, what are you talking about? Something about Johnny Carson, man. So he was right. He was right. The public was ripe. It was ripe for bodybuilding in the 70s. It really was, because everything else was evolving and changing. And bodybuilding was big time.
Did you meet Butler at that contest? Because they were coming to the contest, right?
I think I did,
yeah.
For the book and stuff. And they took pictures and all this stuff. Me, I said, you know what? If Arnold's doing it, I better jump right in. He knows something I don't know. And I followed him because I really knew Arnold was smart, because I talked to him. And I said, whatever he's doing, I'm going to do it. And I said, if these guys don't want to go with him, I'm going. And it was right. It was the right thing to do. And I didn't squawk about anything.
So what did you think about the book, Pumping Iron, when it came out?
The book was great, because I had some pictures in it.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good. It captured the public's eye.
Yeah.
That is when I got my second girlfriend. I was already now dispersed from my first wife. She saw me in the magazine, and she was kind of an artist, and she saw my abs. She just had to meet me. Wow. I mean, I have to remember in the 70s, it was wild. It was free love all over the place. I mean, the discos, man. The rents now at this point were still cheap, man. It was unbelievable. Joe Weider actually paid my rent every month. I worked for United Airlines at the same time for 10 years in a flight operation, so I had a pretty good job. I got this apartment right on the beach, just about. It was a studio apartment. It wasn't furnished, but it had wall-to-wall carpeting. It had a fireplace, dishwasher, the whole thing. Now, remember, I could see clearly right to the sea, to the ocean. It was $180 a month.
Wow. You said Joe Weider was paying your rent, Bill?
Yeah, he gave me $200 a month. This is what he did with us. The only thing you do is write an article every month with Rick Wayne.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You go up, you talk, $200. I thought that was, okay, that was cool. Paid my rent.
Yeah.
And I had a job as well, and I was getting paid well there, too, at the airport. So it was good for me. At that time, you remember Manny Perry, right?
Yeah.
He came out from Massachusetts, and he was with his friends. They were living in their truck. We got friends. We were training together at the gym. And I said, listen, Manny, I can help you guys out, but only one other guy can come, you know, stay with me in the house. I don't have any much room. So I had Manny come up, but I didn't discard these guys. I said, you can put the car, your truck underneath the building. I'll give you the key to my apartment so you guys can come up and eat, take showers, and, you know, we had a laundry room. You can wash your clothes, the whole nine yards. That's just the kind of guy I was. And I was like that since I was 15. My mother used to always tell me, you befriend anybody you see. I said, that's just the way I am, Mom. That's just the way it is, you know. And I didn't mind helping him.
In 1974, Bill, you had a good year, right? Because that's the year you won the Mr. World contest.
Exactly.
And that was the same night they had the Mr. America and the Mr.
Yes,
Olympia also.
Mr. Olympia, the America. It was a clean sweep of Gold's Gym, but I'll attach something else to that, too. Serge Nubret would come here every year. So this year he was out there. And you've probably seen the pictures of me and him posing with my cats next to me, doing the most muscular. And he had that look on his face. But he came in here, you know, it's like when you're an athlete, you don't go to the opponent's house and start talking smack to him, man, you know. He came here and he says, oh, man, he says, man, my guys are going to wipe you out. I said, man, dude, you better cut that crap out. They ain't beating me with nothing. And I says, come over here. Come over here. I want to show you something. So I ripped off my shirt. My cats was on one side and Serge on the other side. If you look at the picture, look at his face when he saw me. This is like 5 weeks before the show. You could see like, oh, man. I said, your guys ain't got a chance. I'm going to blow them out. How dare you come to my house and tell me your guys are going to wipe me out? Okay, we're going to see about that. And, of course, you know what happened at the show.
Right.
I won best chest, best back, best arms, best abs, most muscular. I was second in best legs. Oh, and I won at the same time. I says, how about that, Serge? What happened to your guys? They got zilch, man. Yeah, he didn't say anything. He walked away. Hey, he put a fire under my ass, man.
Who did you beat in that contest?
Ed Corney. And, you know, Ed Corney was 44 years old at that time.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
Wait a minute. That was 1974. He was already 44 years old. I beat all the French guys. And everybody else was there. There was quite a few guys. I can't remember all, but they were good. And I wiped them all. That was my best. I think that was our best for all of us, even Arnold. Look at those pictures from 1974.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Saul.
I
think we all peaked in 1974. Not like we got worse, but that was the pinnacle of what we were at. And it was great. Right. I couldn't believe it, man. It was a clean sweep. Gold's Gym won the America, Olympia, in the world. Wow. Everybody now wanted to go to Gold's Gym, man. You know,
that Mr. World contest, that qualified you for the Olympia the next year, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It was fantastic, man. I mean, it was like, let's put it this way, John. It was my dream come true. Yeah, if you can believe it, you can achieve it. Now, remember, I started, John, for the ones out there who are going to be listening to this, probably don't realize, I was 4'9". 110 pounds at 14 years old. I was the smallest guy in high school. And nobody. They said, you don't have a chance for anything, man. Sports, nothing. I just blew it up. But you know what? That was the catalyst that made me train. That negative stuff. And I just pulled it right in and used it for energy.
How old when you won the Mr. World?
Let's see. 1974. I must have been about 25. It was a dream come true. I mean, I started bodybuilding at 14, so maybe like let's see, 12 years later, I finally got there. I mean, I keep telling guys even today, I says, hey, man, you don't just go into the gym and the next year you're gonna win all the big titles. It's not going to happen. You're going to fail a couple of times. That's why I'm saying, like Arnold said, you know, you can't be afraid to fail. You know, right. You get beat. I got my asses kicked a couple of times. But you can't say it's done. I've seen guys that are really good, and because they lost, they finished. Yep. They didn't want to do it anymore. See, for me, that wasn't it. Every time I lost, sometimes it's, maybe it's nice to lose because I'd really trained, man. I mean, 1973, when I was third, Ken Wilder won the world. Dennis Tarino was second, and I was third. I was pissed. There was no hate between us. We'd all go out and eat and hang out. But I said, right. Oh, hell no, man. No way. No way. It's mine next year. It's going to be mine. Man, I trained all year, and I had Eddie Giuliani was my training partner. Even after that, and after Pumping Iron, now you have to remember, Hollywood was obsessed about bodybuilding. I mean, we all were. Matter of fact, I think I was in television shows before Arnold and any of those guys.
Let's go to 75, Bill, because that's the summer that George Butler came to California and he started filming the movie Pumping Iron. And
right.
You said that you talked to him about you guys getting paid, right? Because you said you wanted to get paid right. Like an extra in a movie would get paid, right?
Yeah, well, right. Now, see, that's where a lot of footage that I had, they cut it off. They got pissed. I kind of, listen, my mother always told me, said, if something's not right, you got to stand up for yourself. That wasn't politically correct. I was pissed. I said, why is Arnold getting all the money and we're getting nothing? And it was a big thing. And all of a sudden, he gave us the money. But, okay, we're going to cut out shit from Bill Grant. They were pissed.
Did you talk to George Butler?
Oh, I still talk to him. Yeah, yeah.
Did you talk to him then when he was filming it?
Oh, yeah. I told him. I asked him. I told him, I said, why is Arnold getting all the money? How come we're not getting paid? I said, remember, you can't have a movie with just a star with no extras and with no cast of characters. I was right. I knew I was right. I mean, it wasn't right to not give us anything.
Working out and interview and stuff?
Yeah, they did. They did. They cut it off. They were pissed at me because they had to give money to us they weren't going to keep. That's not right, man. It just wasn't right. And nobody said anything. And I said, Grant, shut up. I said, no. Even Arnold told me that. No, man, no, this is not right. This is not right. We should get paid just like extras in the movies. And they gave the money, but it was at a cost for me, you know. But nobody hated me after that. Eddie Giuliani always used to tell me, he said, nobody would tell you that, though, but Joe Weider loved you. There's nothing he wouldn't do for you. He didn't. He told me that. Joe loved me, he said. I said, what? He says, yeah, that's why nobody will do anything bad things to you, because he loved you, man. But you have to remember, I met Joe Weider when I was 15 years old. I barged into his office.
out in New Jersey, right?
Yeah. I came over and I said, the secretary says, I'm here to see Joe Weider. Do you have an appointment? I said, no, but I want to see Joe Weider. And we're having a confrontation out there. And he came, what's going on out there? well, Mr. Weider, this kid said he wanted to see. That's okay. Come on, let him come into the office. And we started talking, and that was the relationship we had, man. He never forgot me.
Right.
And I think, really, he liked me because I had balls. Joe liked guys with balls, man. He did. I could see Arnold did the same thing to him. If you were just a pussy with him, I'm telling you, man, he wouldn't respect you. I think he respected me because I barged in. I used to tell him, you know, what it is, man. I mean, that's just the way I was taught. But I love Joe Weider. They can say whatever they want bad about Joe Weider. He was clearly a fairly guy. He changed the face of bodybuilding and how it was going to be. And without Joe Weider, do you think all this would be going on right now? I don't think so.
No.
I don't. There would be no Arnold Schwarzenegger. There would be no Bill Grant. There would be no Robbie Robinson. There would be no Frank Zane. Nothing.
Right. Talk about that trip to South Africa, Bill, because that was a big move. You know, that was a really big event in bodybuilding. They brought the Olympia and the Universe over to Pretoria, South Africa.
Right,
and,
right.
Tell us a little bit about your trip going over there.
It was a pretty political thing to do, but it was good, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I went. I had some real problems getting there, not because it was me, because what that was happening. I took a flight, and I went to Paris, and I went to a hotel, And I went to refresh and go to sleep because it was hours before the next flight.
Yeah.
I missed
you missed
the
flight. Oh,
yeah,
man.
I missed. No. But I had to take another one. So I got there late after prejudging. They had all that going on. Yeah, it was bad for me.
What happened?
Well, I came there. I got there. And Reg Park himself came to the airport to pick me up. And at that, I stayed at Reg Park's house. He was so nice to me. And when I got there, I says, Reg, I said, I got to go to the bathroom. He says, no, I don't think you want to go to the bathroom here. Because the bathroom for you, you wouldn't like it. And I don't like it either. But wait till you get to my house. He had a beautiful house. He had a swimming pool. They treated me like a god, really. It was so nice, man. The guy, they can say what they can say about him being in South Africa. The guy was great. He treated me so good, man. I can't say better things about him and his family, how they treated me when I was the whole time I was there. I stayed a week at their house. They were just so great, man. And I miss Reg Park. I mean, he was just a stand-up guy, man. And, you know, sometimes you hear like stars, how their asses and this and that, but it's really not really the thing. You know, maybe they had a confrontation with some asshole and made it look like a mass. The guy was great. He was really, really good to me, man. And I loved it being there. And he got really pissed off at one thing. He wanted me to be a judge at the Mr. South Africa contest, but they wouldn't let me do it. And he was pissed. He was really angry about that. He scolded him. He says, what the hell is wrong with you people? This guy is a champion bodybuilder. He's a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't he be judging? Well, Reg, the guy, he's a black guy. We can't. Oh, he was pissed.
Yeah.
But anyway, he stood up for me. He's a stand-up. He was a stand-up guy. He really was. The whole family was like that.
What happened in the contest in 75?
They prejudged me, but it didn't really count. They did it in the hotel room. It was sad by myself. I mean, it was sad because it was my fault. The onus is on me. I have to take the responsibility for that. I missed the flight. I can't blame any of them guys. So I want everybody to know it's nobody else's fault but my own.
Right.
I missed the damn plane. So I have to take responsibility for that.
You missed the plane. All the judges came to the room.
Yeah,
and
to the hotel.
The
And I did all the thing. But, you could really, I couldn't get a good.
They're not comparing
because
there was
no
else.
Right.
Yeah.
So they couldn't do it, and I wasn't mad at them either. Mm-hmm. And they told me a lot of them. They says if you'd have got there earlier, the outcome could have been a little bit different. But you weren't there, I don't blame you. I maybe it came in second or something. I don't know, but I was ready. I was in shape that year.
Franco was
it's
first,
okay.
And right. Was second, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
How was the rest of your experience out there during that trip?
Now, I'm telling you, Reg Park treated me like a king, like a guy. I just couldn't believe he did this. Well, he called a friend up who had a Italian restaurant, and he says, I'm bringing a friend to the restaurant, and I don't want any wish-wash going on here, okay? So we get there, man, and of course, you walk in, the place got quiet. because it wasn't allowed. And they set us right at the window, man. And Reg, he demanded it. This is a friend of mine. He's a great bodybuilder. He's eating here. And, that's why I say I can't say enough about Reg Park with his hospitality to me and blacks.
Right.
He didn't like it. He told me. He said, I don't like what's going on in this country. It shouldn't be like this. But, unfortunately, I can't change it by myself. If I could, I would. But as far as you're with me, you're part of me. And this is it, okay? So you don't have to worry about anything because you're with me. And I told everybody the story, and I'm telling everybody right now about that. So the whole world who listens to this, they can know that Reg Park is a stand-up guy. He stuck up for me. And he stuck up for everybody else. So
that's great.
They can never come to my face and say, oh, Reg Park was a racist. I'd slap him. I would. Because you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know the guy. You weren't even there. You never seen that guy. You don't even know what he is like. How can you say he's this and that? And what, you heard something, somebody say something, or you read it in a magazine? Come on, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get the facts. I'm giving you the facts at hand. I was there.
At the show that night, Olympia, they let you pose, right?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And that was great. And Reg wanted that to happen, too. You know, he told me, he said, Bill, I mean, there's nothing I can do to help you. I mean, you know, this was your own doing. And I said, I understand. I was upset. Right. I was crying about it, man. You know, I come all the way over here, and I screwed it up, man. And my mother sent me there. My mother gave me the ticket, man. And I felt really bad that I let her down, and I let myself down, and I let down Joe Weider because I wasn't there when I was supposed to, and I was very upset about it by myself. Like I said, I didn't blame anybody else but me. It was my own stupidity. So let's get the facts straight. Let's get it all back and get it in perspective that this is what happened after Mr. Olympia.
I remember seeing you, you know, of course, I saw you in Pumping Iron. I saw you on stage when they had that pose down, but I never knew that you missed it. I never knew that.
Right. So now everybody knows what happened.
Mm-hmm. When the movie came out, what did you think of it?
Oh, Pumping Iron? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It was still great, man. It was unbelievable. Yeah. It was great. It was absolutely fantastic. But now I have to tell you, I just did another documentary. It's talking about the 1977 Mr. America parade. This is going to be great. It's not done yet. If you go to the Raw Iron, if you go to that page, they've got some snippets from the thing. Yes, if you go there, the Raw Iron, I have some snippets from it. This Mark Martinez. Now, this guy, I knew him since he was a kid when he was coming to Gold's Gym when it was on 2nd Street in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the television industry already. He lives up in Northern California. And he got this idea he wanted to do. And this is going to be big. This is really going to be big. And he's not done yet. He's not finished yet. I had about maybe an hour of an interview, maybe more. If you're going to do something like that, you got to have a lot of footage, you know, if you're going to get it together. If you can see some of the stuff I've said, some of it was here. It's great. He really, you know, showing us up real good, man. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be back down about it at July 4th. He has to do Tony Pearson. He's going to do Ken Keene because, as you know, he's going to be inducted into the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame on July 4th, and I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And I haven't been there since about 6 years since I was sick. And most people saw in our article in Flex about what happened to me, my near-death experience, and it was bad. I thought my life was over. I was down to 140.
Can you tell us about that real quick?
Yes. I had diverticulitis, and as usual, you know, I didn't pay attention. It went on for 3 years, and it just came to a head. So I'll just go real fast. It came to a head one night. My nephew was here in my apartment. It was about 12 o'clock in the evening, and I really got an attack in my stomach and stuff, and I just... Oh, man, I was just really bent over. And he says, Uncle Bill, you want me to take you to the hospital? It seems really bad. I says, no, it's just a little bit worse than what it usually is. So he left, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was on the floor. I mean, I was writhing on the floor. And people may think I'm crazy. Something told me to get up and go to the hospital. You're dying. And it's like, wow, I heard whatever was in my ear. I got up and I drove myself to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I was all scrunched down, and about 60 miles an hour, I'm riding to the down on regular streets to get to the hospital. My doctor was there, and I told the doctor, I says, Doc, I said, I feel like I'm dying. You know what he told me? He says, you are dying. You need surgery right now. He had a team of guys. He started screaming, come on, get ready. We need to get this surgery's got to go. And then the doctor had to do it. He had to cut 6 inches of my colon out. That's how bad it was. I survived that. That weight is up. Now, right now, I'm almost 190. I think people are going to be very, very surprised when they see me now. I'm getting even bigger constantly. And they can say what they want. I'm 70. When I was in Finland, I had a couple of shots of my bicep. I don't know why my body is responding like this. It's unbelievable. People have... And I know they can't believe at 70 that I have this thickness in my biceps, and it's still like there. And at 70, I don't have a magic bullet, and I'm not going on anything. I said, hey, Bill, what are you taking? I says, I'm not taking anything, man. Only thing I can tell you, truly tell you, These are some things I'm taking. Makuna, Rishi, Mackie, and Shilajit. But also now, I want to tell you real now, Bill Grant is coming out back. Remember my creatine cocktail?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody out there, get ready. It's coming back. I'm working with another company called RTN Nutrition. I trained the owner. He likes the idea. We collaborated together. That under the RTN name, it'll be Bill Grant's creatine cocktail mm-hmm. again. It's ready. I'm doing some little promotions right now, not definitely saying what's going on. I think it's going to be a good idea because people who had took the product, they says, wow, you're coming back? I says, yeah. They said, yeah, it was the best drink I ever had. So just wish me well with this, and I want everybody to know that this is going to be out there. And Jimmy says, Bill, you're growing all the time. I says, this is what I'm doing. But I kicked up my calories, and I'm training a lot heavier than I was before. So I'm just thinking about what I did way back in the day. What did you do to get big back then? So, you know, you always go back to what works. You know, Frank Zane used to have a journal. I didn't have a journal, mm-hmm. but the journal was in my head.
Yeah.
So I says, no, just do what you did before, and it'll work. And yes, it's working. John, I feel so good. I feel like I'm 30 years old. I'm serious. Everybody has to understand. Wow. Age is just a number. It doesn't mean anything. It just documents how long you've been on this planet. I'm still in my 20s. They can say whatever they want. You can mentally motivate yourself and build yourself up mentally.
Bill, thanks again for joining us, and I'm glad you're feeling better and glad everything's looking up for you. And you look amazing for 70 years old, Bill.
John, thank you very much, man. All righty.
All right, buddy.
Take care, man. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That's it for our interview for this week. Thanks for Bill Grant for joining us again. We always appreciate talking to him. Next week, we're going to be joined by Mr. Roger Schwab. And Roger was one of the judges, an IFBB judge in the 70s. And he also worked for Ironman Magazine. He wrote a lot of the contest reports. So Roger was really around during a lot of the great old contest. He saw Arnold win the 1973, 74 Mr. Olympia. He was a pretty good friend of Arnold back in those days. And of course, he was around for all the late 70s contests. And he was actually at the premiere of Pumping Iron in New York, where Arnold and Mike Katz and Lou Ferrigno and Mike Mentzer and Robbie Robinson and all those guys were at. So we're going to have a great interview next week with Roger Schwab, one of the top judges and writers in the bodybuilding field in the 70s. And I want to thank again Redcon One, Old School Labs, Florida Alternative Medicine, and Six Pack Bags for sponsoring this edition of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. So that's it for this week on the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. Take care, everybody. We'll see you guys next time.